The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench, hour number two here with Mafia. So, Mafia, the word is that Deshaun Watson, if he has an opportunity to go somewhere, he'd want to go to Denver or the 49ers. And I just don't think that, far be it for me to know anything, but if I were them, why would I trade Deshaun Watson to the Niners for what? Why would I trade him to Denver for what? But I would trade him to the Jets for that number two pick. And I would demand, Sam Darnold, Quinnen Williams, maybe your boy May, and maybe another draft pick, another year, a choice from the next year in 2022. I'm telling you. If I were the franchise, I would look at that Jets pick as the one I want. And I don't know exactly what Denver and San Francisco have to offer them in terms of players or picks. But if I'm Houston, I'm looking squarely at that number two pick. And I can, I can do some damage with that pick and get a really good quarterback in the draft. Nevertheless, with that choice, and then whatever else they stockpile on top of it, it doesn't matter really what he wants. I mean, I know people say, no trade and all this other stuff, clauses, all the rest. I don't care about any of that. Bottom line is, I don't know. Why do you think, do you think that he believes the Jets are going to suck that bad that he couldn't win in New York and make the most money in New York as opposed to playing in Denver or San Francisco? I think the Niners would want Deshaun Watson over Garoppolo. Fair enough. And I think they'd want Deshaun Watson over Drew Lock. Fair enough. That's not my point. My point is, what are they going to get for him? What exactly are they going to get for him? And to me, the Jets make the most sense in terms of what they could get.
Yeah, and I've felt the same way. And that's not just because I'm a Jet fan. I mean, I've always felt that for what they need to rebuild that team, the Jets were the best scenario for what they could get back. Of course, the team that was in the mix was, if for some reason Miami decided they wanted to move on and trade Tua. Those were two teams with multiple first-round picks, with a lot of room to maneuver and try to bring in other players with, some guys on their roster that are worth a while too for them to take. So I think those are definitely the best situations. Like you said, he has no trade clause, so that's obviously something you have to get around. You have to convince him to go to these places. But with the moves that the Jets are starting to make, or maybe other money that they have available to sign other guys, maybe that's enough to convince him to go. But there is no other teams that make sense for them to do that with, because if you're going to trade him, you want capital and you want it now. You want to make sure that it's this year, because you have no picks whatsoever, and you want to make sure the team still sucks so that they're good picks. Because if you say, all right, give me your first round next year or in 2 years or in 5 years, You're giving them one of the best players in the NFL. They're not going to suck. They're not going to be in the top 10 anymore. So it makes no sense. I mean, with multiple first-round picks, the Jets make the most sense for them. I guess it's more of if they decide to finally just give up and send him out and then have to convince him to do it.
So would you I have to think for a second here. If you were in Seattle, Russ Wilson's miserable, but he's not going to the Bears. So I just want to welcome in our radio affiliates down the line to the show. Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, Soldier, Hoorah. It's Pharrell on the Bench with Mafia. Would you trade right now, straight up, Russell Wilson for Deshaun Watson? Would you do that trade if you were the Texans?
No. I think Wilson is awesome, but I think, I mean, he makes a lot more money, if I'm not mistaken. And also, you know, he's older. I think he's gotten beat up the last couple of years. I'm not saying that he's over the hill, that he sucks or anything like that, but this guy's taken abuse year after year with them not protecting him. The last thing I'm going to do is give him someone who's, you know, what, 3-4 years younger. And, you know, what the big thing for them is that not just getting another quarterback, is that they really need to rebuild the whole roster. Just getting another good quarterback isn't going to save them. They're still going to suck. They need picks. They need other players with talent. Otherwise, it's just, you know, Trey Schwab's going to get them nowhere.
But what about the fact that the guy doesn't want to play there at all? Like, is there not, like, the mope syndrome going on here where I'm going to have this guy? Like, do you remember when Harden was playing in H-Town? It was mope city. He was just a mope. And I think Deshaun Watson is actually going to mope his way around Houston. If he has to go back and play for the Texans and he's forced to play there and they don't trade him and he doesn't hold out, or he does hold out and he eventually gives up on the holdout because he's losing too much money. I think he's going to play being a mope. I just think he'll be miserable. I think he'll act miserable. He'll be at work miserable. He won't be happy, and he'll just be, frankly, a cancer. So at some point, if you're going to trade him, you want to get a good quarterback out of the deal. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench. So I think the bottom line is that you're going to have a lot of, frankly, quarterbacks that are miserable playing on their teams next year, next season. I mean, if Russell Wilson doesn't like his situation in Seattle anymore, which has been the entire offseason conversation, that he wants out, that he wants to be traded, that he had several teams on his list, his destinations of choice, and then Deshaun Watson's miserable, right? All I know is he's threatened to not, you know, do anything. Camp, OTA, you know, training, regular season. He just says he's never playing for him again. So I don't even think that war started yet. And then, so now they get all these guys moving around. You know, Fitzmagic goes to Washington. I told you Brissett went to Miami. We know the Dalton moved today to Chicago. And, I mean, it's just beginning in terms of guys moving around, right? So I think it's just beginning. There's been all kinds of other activity, but all these guys are miserable. Tyrod Taylor with the Texans. Tyrod Taylor, when you think about that guy, honestly, he actually, remember last season? This is how Herbert got famous. This guy had his own team doctors screw him up. He got injured when they, like, didn't they puncture his lung or something, Mafia, the doctors?
Yeah, they were trying to give him a pain blocking shot for the ribs and accidentally went a little too far and punctured the lung.
Can you imagine? Can you even fathom that, that the team doctor did it? Like, he screwed it up? Like, what was he, drunk? High? How did he screw that up? Like, how is that even possible? Like, I guess I could maybe picture that at some hospital or something and somebody makes a mistake. But can the, like, high-paid teen doctor guy screw it up? Isn't that what Dr. Chow used to do for the same team? He was the Chargers team doctor forever, for like 18 years.
He was, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's very thin lining there between the hitting in the muscle or getting it through that muscle. And, you know, it's a very fine line. And I just went a little too far. But I give him a lot of credit because I think for him, this is genius. Because no matter what the Texans want to say and how they want to, you know, try to play this off with Watson, he's a realist. And, you know that guy wants to start. He's looking around the league at all these other opportunities or whatever, you know, ones that came to him. And he's saying, listen, you know, yeah, this one I can go back up. This one I can maybe compete. This one might give me a shot. But if I go to Houston, when they come to realize that they're screwed and this guy isn't sticking around and they trade him off, who's sitting there in the wings waiting to start? Oh, yeah, me.
Yeah. I think he might have the gravy snag right there, the gravy train, your boy. Do you think Cam Newton's going to do any better with all the talent that they got? Bottom line is they're going two receiver, two tight end. They got Smith. They got Henry. They got Cam. They're, you know, obviously going to shorten things up between the numbers. They're going to throw it underneath. They're going to start pounding those tight ends. And, I mean, Brady used to do it, right? Brady was Mr. Slant, Mr. Tight End. He still is.
Right, especially when he had two of them, when he had Hernandez and Gronk.
Yeah. Always tough when the guy can't make game day because he's murdered a few people.
Worked for a couple of years. Just long enough to get him a big contract right before he went to prison.
Listen, I'm not making fun of anybody or anything. I'm just, it's true. Right? Like, I mean, what are you going to say? I still can't fathom that story. And I watched all those documentaries about him too. It just went down creepy street. I'll tell you what. Didn't it? It went from just like fame and money to tragedy. And then to, I can't believe it. Did I just hear that? And then after that, it started getting real weird when they started having, like, his prison roommates talking about steamy love affairs and just
his high school teammate.
The high school teammate did him too, right?
Wasn't him and the quarterback involved, according to him?
Oh, God. And I just can't believe. Now, can you even fathom that happened and that, frankly, that not, I know he's not there in New England, but that Urban Meyer's coaching in Jacksonville in the NFL now, and that guy's dead? You can't even make this stuff up. I mean, it's crazy. You can't even deny it.
It's insane. It's if you wrote that as a movie, people would be like, all right, come on, this is too far-fetched. You can't believe this.
Yeah. Which one do you think was worse? The one that he, like, I got to refresh my memory. One of them he dumped in the like cement mixing parking lot. You remember they went down to the construction site and he left the one guy dead there, right? And then the other one, right. The other one was when he did like a drive-by in the car shooting, right? That's when
two
they
guys,
got up, two guys in the intersection in the car, right?
Coming out of the club.
This is the bubble in the club, up in the club. Pharrell's at the bubble in the club. Javi, what do you remember most about when we went to Reno, where your boy Steve Alford is now, and you knowing you I remember we went to the nightclub, right? Till like all hours, and they let's just get real here. They tried to, like, am I tripping that they put a bunch of hot chicks around us?
They did. They had, like, the cocktail waitress, the one of them that was dating our buddy Ian McCall at the time that we found out. And then, we're hanging out with the guy from
Uncle
the sports book.
Is that Uncle Creepy?
Uncle Creepy, yeah. And we're hanging out with the guy from the sports book, thinking everything was gross, and they come out with a check at the end of the night. We're like, wait, what?
I don't remember any of that. Like, did I care about that at the time?
Well,
you tell
take
me.
Care of it. Our boy took care of it. He's like, no, I got this.
Either way, like, I don't even remember that. I just remember, didn't we go to the nightclub till like all hours and you were just pounding and then
close it down.
I just remember you pounding. And then I remember, it was like we were shrouded in, I don't know, strippers.
Yeah, it was all the hostesses hanging out with us. Yeah. They definitely surrounded us with some very beautiful women. You know, we were definitely in the VIP section. That's the first time I've gotten that kind of treatment.
I can't even.
But nothing happened. Just drinks.
Listen, don't tell that story. Don't tell the boring story.
I'm making sure your wife doesn't hear
that. Nothing happened. What do I care what she thinks? This is long before anyone mattered in our lives. Listen, I remember having parties out there where this is the first week of the NCAA tournament, so it would have been this week, right? And I remember, like, you know, thousands of people showing up those 4 days, and they couldn't get rid of us fast enough in that airport on Sunday. They couldn't get rid of us fast enough, and they never had us back again. Meanwhile, we made them roll over thousands, roll over. Place was packed, and everybody was drinking and thinking, and yelling and screaming and spinning.
Scotty, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I just saw your boy Shaq on TNT with the host Adam Lefko, I think, and then Candace Parker's out there shooting threes. She just dropped 5 for 5 in a dress, and these two guys went 2 for 36. As I was watching out of the corner of my eye, because I got the game on, I'm not watching the halftime show, but I looked up and I see this like shooting contest going on, and they sped it up really fast. Because they had to, because they were both so awful shooting. I mean, they literally went 2 for 36. They even showed their number. I sat there, and Mafia, as my witness, I was like, Mafia, I've never seen somebody miss so many threes. I mean, they're not even hitting the rim. They shot like 20 air balls, and Shaq and this guy. And so Lefko finally hit one, and it was like the 36th shot. And I was like, in the middle of it, like when they were in the 20s, I said to Mafia, I've never seen anyone miss that many shots in my life of anything ever in basketball, of what I just saw. That's how bad it was. Like, and then she stepped up and knocked down 5 of 5, and I would have stepped up and knocked down at least 4 of 5. I give myself one to miss. Mafia knows I can knock down them threes. So anyway, that's crazy. Mafia, you haven't told me what you think of the Mayans returning tonight. The Mayans.
Oh, I'm so excited, man. And the worst part is that it's a double episode. They did back-to-back. It's 2 hours. So I'm going to want to stay up. I'm going to want to watch them both, and I shouldn't. So I'm going to have to really force myself after the first one to just go to bed, because I've been waiting for that show to come back for a long time.
So wait a minute. You're going to watch for an hour and then go to bed and then watch the second hour tomorrow? You're going to watch, you're going to bang out 2 hours and go to bed at like 1:30 in the morning or at 2:30 in the morning?
I'm going to try to watch 1 hour, but I know I'm going to watch two. I'll be going up to like 2:30 in the morning, I'm sure.
Wow. So why? When do you normally go to bed and then when do you get up? Like, because I get up pretty early.
I try to get up. I go to bed. When we're done with the radio show, probably between 1:30 and 2 Eastern, you know, once I get done with the work and finish some other things like the videos from the show and commercials for tomorrow, things like that. But I'm sure I'll be up late. And then it depends on when I get up. Usually I get up probably by 7 because the dog always wakes me up and wants to go out to the bathroom. So I'll wake up with her, take her down, take her out, feed her. And then I try to get her to go back to sleep. And sometimes that works out. Sometimes we're like, we'll just lay on the couch and pass out till 9. But you never know with her.
So you mean the dog?
Yeah, the dog.
So Mafia doesn't tell you about the other runs he goes on after midnight to the airport. Very busy. So Mayans is back, as I mentioned, and Mafia is excited to watch it. I like watching it, too. I was trying to explain the other day, I think to Carver High, that the Sons of Anarchy, wasn't it like 7 years worth of episodes? And how many, what was it like? Am I tripping that there were, because I remember the last season was like literally, didn't they do like 20 episodes or something like that?
I don't know if they did 20 episodes, but I think they split it over two different seasons. I think that's what they did. They separated it so that it kind of dragged out a little bit more. Kind of like Breaking Bad did.
But that was 7 years worth of that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Breaking Bad was, what, 5? And I think that was 7.
I'll double check. Seven years. I mean, you don't even have to check. I'm certain of it. I watched 7 years. I'll never forget. I used to tell the story. I watched 7 years of Sons of Anarchy. And then they came out with this Mayans. So I was telling Carver, I go, it's this motorcycle gang in Cali. And you watch for 7 years, and once you start watching that thing, it'll suck you in like no one's business. There's just no getting out. Once you go, you're in for the long haul. I mean, you are locked in, locked and loaded. And then I watched every episode, and then this other one came out, and I gotta tell you, you know, I think the influence of the first one, that we liked it so much, influenced our opinion of the second one, the Mayans, when it first came out. If you remember when it first came out, I think we were at CBS and we were talking about it, like going to work, we'd talk about the Mayans that we watched. And I remember at the beginning telling you, it's not as good as Sons of Anarchy. It's just not as good. Meanwhile, isn't it like the same people doing it? I think it is.
Yeah, it's the same main guys. Kurt Sutter started it. At least I think the first season or so, maybe even into the second one, then kind of handed it off to, you know, his other guy because he had a better perspective on, you know, like the minority gangs. But, and it was 7 seasons, 92 episodes for Sons of Anarchy.
92 episodes I watched of Sons of Anarchy. 92. Do you know how long that takes?
Which were each at least an hour long. I think the last season they're like hour 15, hour 30 sometime.
Right. I knew it was something. Like it was either longer or it was, you know, more episodes, one or the other. I was like, the last season, I remember it like never ended. And then when it finally did, I just couldn't believe it, right? It was so crazy and so well done. Now they're doing a series. I don't know if you knew this or not, but they're doing a series that's coming out on the Showtime Lakers from the 80s. And allegedly, I saw this story that Adrian Brody is playing Pat Riley as the coach of the Lakers, right? So they're doing a movie about the Showtime Lakers. I remember watching the Showtime Lakers like it was yesterday. What do you think of that, Mafia? Adrian Brody playing Pat Riley in a Lakers movie. Have you seen enough of the Lakers? Or do you want to watch some history and go back to the 80s Showtime Lakers?
I don't mind that at all. You know, we had the Jordan one, which was great, but then also, you know, we all know was just completely push in his favor and you know, fix it because, you know, that certain things that were left out and certain ways that he's portrayed. But I think it would be great to see something like that. I love watching about some of these old teams because, I mean, I was too young or not around for most of the Showtime Lakers. So me go back to see that, you know, as long as they do it right, as long as they do it, you know, in a regard where you actually get some of the behind the scenes stuff and it's not just, oh yeah, they were so great and everything was perfect. No one ever disliked each other. Like, I want to see it like the Ray Charles documentary or, you know, the Johnny Cash, where, like, they told the dirty stuff behind the scenes. I don't want to see gloss over like they did in The Last Dance. I want to see all the dirty stuff.
Mafia likes porno. You can tell.
Not exactly what I meant, but, you know, there was a lot of that, I'm sure.
You just heard him. He just said he wants dirty. That's what he wants. And then it's unbelievable. He's telling me, hold on, I'm listening to him right now in my ear. You can't hear him on the air, but let me just repeat what he's saying. Don't go from talking about porno to talking about Sister Jean. Oh, Sister Jean is going to the NCAA basketball tournament, Mafia, in her wheelchair at 101 years old. Now, in 2017, when Parker Mosier took Loyola Chicago to the Final Four, Sister Jean became a household name. She became very famous, and she's back. Inexplicably, she has somehow survived and is now over a buck. She's a buck one, and she's going to Indianapolis, apparently. She's been cleared. I don't even know. I guess she's going to see Loyola Chicago. That was actual footage of Sister Jean. You know who hates Sister Jean, it would appear to me, is Carver High Mafia.
Well, to be fair, Carver High hates everybody.
True enough.
But he does have a very, very big, you know, thorn in his side for her.
More than Milwaukee?
Yes. Yes. I think he detests the attention that Sister Jean gets way more than the Bucks, because at least the Bucks are professional athletes and doing things on the court and, like, making headlines for a reason. She's just like, yeah, the old super fan is there. Yeah, it's just like, you know, when you have all these other tournaments and you're showing the coach's wives 10,000 times. When Enfield was the coach of Florida Gulf Coast that year, and all they did was show his wife 20 times a game.
Right. They do that with Krzyzewski. What do you think of that game, though? Do you think Loyola of Chicago will beat Georgia Tech, and Sister Jean will live another day? You know, through, she'll, you know, maybe a Friday, Sunday, or Saturday, Monday. Do you think she'll get to see them play more than one game, or will they lose to Pastner's rambling wreck from Georgia Tech in Atlanta?
I think I would take them. You know, no offense to Georgia Tech. I know they were great this year. They made that great run in the ACC tournament. They looked awesome. I think that, you know, that Chicago team, though, you talked about it before when they won their conference tournament. I mean, they're a tough team. They got these scrappy guys that, you know, were kind of left by the big boys and now playing their hearts out to show who they are. And they play defense. They commit. You know, a lot of these smaller conferences teams, like, they actually get at it on the defensive end. And these big conferences sometimes forget that. They're all about scoring. But those guys will shut you down. And if you're having an off day, it's going to get real long.
So Mafia told me tonight, because I did the picks already for the tournament Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I did all the picks already. So those are already up. We'll talk about some of those games coming up.
So many sports, so many memories, so many players, so many teams, so many great matchups, so many possibilities. Now, are you really going to pass all that up? This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with Mafia. So Thursday, they're going to start playing, and Carver High is going to be ruffled because of Sister Jean. I don't even know if they play Friday. Let me just see. I think they do. They play Friday against Georgia Tech at 4 o'clock on TBS. So hopefully, for Carver High's sake, Georgia Tech will win that game. And if not, Mafia and I will win more money for you. and believe in Loyola, even though they're Loyola's an 8, Georgia Tech's a 9. I don't even listen. I guess in some level, some capacity, I'll look at a seed, you know, for the top seeds. After 4, I don't even care about you. I really don't. So, you know, 3 and 4, you get to the point where that's kind of the Mendoza for me. Everything else is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what your seed is. It's just simple. You're either good enough to play anyone and beat them, or you aren't. It's real simple. It's one and done. It's no joke. All the teams in it are good in some capacity. So are you better than them? Can you handle it? Can you handle your business? That's the gist of it. So it opens up a Texas Southern and Mount St. Mary's. I know you don't care about them. Nobody does, except their fans. Fair enough. But they're putting that one on at 5:10 because later in the night, they want them to watch UCLA and Michigan State. So the first game is that one, Texas Southern and Mount St. Mary's. It's a pick 'em. And then Drake, Wichita State, a pick 'em. Drake's 25-4 for the season. Wichita State, 16-5. It is what it is. Drake's had a really good season. They're tough. Wichita State, tough but struggled in their, you know, conference tournament. They were having problems with their games. I mean, it didn't matter who they played. They had problems. That one's at 6:27 Eastern. And then Appalachian State, Norfolk State. That's App State laying 3 to Norfolk. You know, to me, it's the game that's on kind of deal. No disrespect, but it's a game that's on. I'll watch. It is what it is. But that's why, and that one's at 8:40. And then at 9:57. So Thursday night, I'll be going on the bench at 10 East, and UCLA and Michigan State will be rocking and rolling as we do the show. So that'll be cool, right? And Michigan State's laying 2 in that one. And then Friday, it's all day, every day. I mean, it is just fantastic. So just some of the games. Now, I don't know. I'm just looking at it for when it starts. It looks like it's like around lunchtime, right? So I think the first game I'm seeing on there for the day is at 12:15, VaTech and Florida. VaTech and Florida. There you go. But let's just, you know, instead of when the games start, that's the first one. Instead of when they start, because the one right after that is Colgate and Arkansas, then Drexel and Illinois. Then Utah State and Texas Tech, which I think will be a great game. Oral Roberts and Ohio State at 3. Hartford and Baylor at 3:30. Georgia Tech and Loyola at 4. Oregon State and Tennessee at 4:30. And then you get Liberty, Oklahoma State at 6:25. I saw somewhere in there. So there's some other games. So, you know, I'd say 7:15 Cleveland State, Houston, 7:25 North Texas, Purdue. I think they'll give Purdue a game, believe it or not. 7:10 Wisconsin and North Carolina. And then Rutgers, Clemson at 9:20. Winthrop Nova at 9:57. So right when we're going on the air Friday night, that game will be tipping. And then right there at around the same time, a few minutes earlier, Cuse and San Diego State and Morehead State in West Virginia. So 3 late night games Friday night at this, basically at the same time. And we'll be all over those on the bench. You can guarantee that. So that's Friday night and Friday all day, right? For that matter. So, oh my God, it's the same thing, you know, obviously on Saturday. I'm just going to go down the list of games. I don't even care. when they start Greensboro and Florida State. They play, I'll tell you, 12:45, VCU and Oregon, late night, 9:57. Georgetown and Colorado, 12:15, lunchtime in the East. Eastern Washington and Kansas at 1:15. St. Bonnie and LSU at 1:45. Michigan plays one of the play-in games at 3. Santa Barbara and Creighton at 3:30. Iona Bama at 4. USC plays a play-in team at 4:30. Grand Canyon and Iowa at 6:25. Maryland UConn should be a good one at 7:10. Ohio and Virginia at 7:15. Missouri Oklahoma 7:25. Gonzaga plays a play-in team at 9:20. BYU does the same thing at 9:40. And then Abilene Christian and Texas go off at 9:50. That's Saturday. Can you imagine all those great games over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Thursday's just the four play-ins, but I don't care. Those are tournament games as far as I'm concerned. Bottom line is you win, you go in. You lose, you go home. That's the deal. That's the best kind of basketball. Also, Mafia is very excited about tomorrow night, believe it or not. So one of the games will be on in the NIT when we're on at 10 on the bench is Western Kentucky and St. Mary's. St. Mary's laying 2. And then earlier at 7, Toledo and Richmond. Those are NIT games. And then that's tomorrow night. Thursday night, they do it again. North Carolina State and Davidson. Davidson laying 1.5. SMU and Boise. Boise laying 1. That should be a good game, SMU and Boise. Friday night, more of the same. Buffalo and Colorado State. Colorado State laying 1.5. The Rams, they're the number one seed. And Louisiana Tech taking on number one seed, Ole Miss. Ole Miss laying 6.5. Saturday, Dayton and Memphis. Memphis is a 1. Mississippi State and St. Louis. St. Louis is a 1. They play on Saturday. Sunday, nothing. But boy, I mean to tell you, we have really, if you can just somehow, God willing, get through the Hanta, the COVID, and get these games in and, you know, knock on wood, not have problems. Can you imagine, Mafia, all those games? I mean, it's just, it's going to be just crazy, Mafia, every single day, like Thursday. Not only those four playing games, but the NIT. People can make fun of the NIT all they want. I got action. Those are good games. Those are good teams that didn't make the tournament. Fair enough, but those are good basketball games. I don't alienate them. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, I'm not watching that because it's the NIT. I'm going to watch whatever I got on. I'll have every game going.
And it's going to be different this year, too. It's going to be interesting to see how that affects it. You know, it's not going to be playing all these little, you know, gyms on the campus sites, and then all of a sudden you get to the end and it's at the Garden. Like, they're going to be in a bubble, too. The same thing as the NCAA tournament, just down in, I think, Dallas. So it's going to be interesting to see how it affects that, how these teams kind of get stuck there and just got to play it out. And it's, you know, like the NBA playoffs a little bit. But not as good, but
what was that? What was that place we went? Dark Elam?
Deep Elam?
Yeah, like that place is in Dallas. It rocks. I would have gone to the NIT in Dallas. I would have gone to those games. If I were in Dallas, I'd go see them play. I don't know about you. I would. I like Dallas. I'd go to see any basketball there. By the way, I'm watching the Pelicans and the Blazers, and the Pelicans are absolutely roasting the Blazers tonight in Portland. It's up 91-74. That's the score now. It's up to that. And I'm just noticing, it's crazy, but I have seen Ingram, every time I look up, he's hitting a shot. Like, every single shot I saw the guy take, I'm not even kidding. It's like I'm watching him, and I've seen him. I just want to see how many he's hit, actually. He's 9 of 19, so it's really not that great. 2 of 7 from downtown. 5 rebounds, 2 dimes. He's got 27. Here's the deal. I've seen him hit like at least 7 or 8 of those 9. I know that because every time I look up, he's hitting a shot. Even the 2 threes he hit, I just saw him hit one from the corner deep. All I know is every time I look up, this guy's hitting a shot. I haven't seen him miss one yet. Now, I know he's missed 10 shots, but I never saw him miss one. So, I mean, I'm shrouded in, I've been fooled, but with replay-itis, whatever, I'm watching the game. As I'm watching the game live, every time he touches the ball, he shoots, he scores. That guy, Brandon Ingram, is just going off, and he's always doing it. He's just always, I think he's always this player. How about the Lakers only up 1 on the T-Wolves at the half at Staples? Jesus, I have seen it all. I really have. How are they not kicking their ass? Explain that to me, seriously, other than they're taking the night off. All the hockey's in. Do you remember when the Ducks were up 4-2 on the Avalanche? They gave up 6 goals. The Avalanche won 8-4. The Lightning won in a shootout over the Stars. I hit both those games. I hit the Wild 3-0 over the Coyotes. The Canes' 8-game winning streak ended. They lost to the Red Wings 4-2. The Islanders' 9-gamer ended. In D.C., Capitals beat them 3-1. Devils win 3-2. And the Bruins 2-1 over the Penguins. I hit that Devils and Bruins game as well. I picked the Bruins to win in Pittsburgh tonight after picking the Penguins to win at PPG the night prior, and they beat him. They lit him up, I think 4-1 or something like that. And Malkin had another good night. He's had he had a 12-point streak over 8 games, 4 goals and 8 assists for 12 points during that stretch. Now, in terms of tonight, he did not have any points tonight. Tanev had the goal from Kapanen and Rodriguez. So that was it for the Penguins. Pasta had a power play goal, and Frederick the other as the Bruins beat him 2-1 at PPG tonight. Good bet there taking the Bruins. So I'm ready for all these games. I know I've already loaded up for Wednesday in the NBA, NHL. I've sent Mavi all those picks. They're up on ForellOnTheBench.com, the NCAA plays for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I just even threw them the 2 NIT games for tomorrow night. So check it out at PharrellOnTheBench.com. We got more coming up. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right. So, Mafia, your boy, Francisco Lindor, hit a shot to deep right field today in the Port St. Lonesome in the Mets game. And they've allegedly begun contract extension talks with Lindor for a long-term deal with the Mets in Queens. Are you licking your chops at seeing Francisco Lindor on your ball club hitting home runs today and getting a 10-year deal?
I definitely am. You know, I mean, the long-term Met fan in me is worried because, of course, every time you sign a big guy in New York for the Mets, it seems like it doesn't work out. You throw money at a guy and all of a sudden he gets injured every day or, you know, can't play after games or just all of a sudden just can't take the pressure in New York and fades. I mean, this guy hasn't done it yet in Queens. But I'm sure he will. You know, this guy, I think, is ready to go. He seems all in. You know, he's all got the gloves. He's got the cleats. He's got all the, like, the New York stuff. You know, so I'm ready for this guy to get in out there. I'm excited to see him play. This is the biggest, like, superstar the Mets have had in a while. This guy is legit. You know, even when they had your boy Cespedes, like, he was good, but he was always hurt. And this guy is different. Lindor is just special, I think.
God, Cespedes is like having a miserable ex-wife. I mean, honestly, he's the worst. I cannot believe the guy had a workout for a bunch of teams and they all went and got suckered into believing that he would ever play every day. The guy plays like 5 games a summer. He's worthless. Lindor, they're going to give tons of money to. They're going to give him $300 million plus. Count on it. He's going to get Tatis money, I think. All right, I'll see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern, 1 West on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. All right, Mafia, good job. Good night, everybody.